Who we were talking earlier, what a crazy night it was last night in Major League Baseball. And then Roger Yoder comes into the building here with, Roger, I need a caddy to pick this book off the ground. This is unbelievable. What he's put together, a book about the Detroit Tigers, which is, I don't know, how do you describe it?
It's a very comprehensive history of the Tigers.
That is an understatement.
You need a working party. You need three or four helpers to carry that around.
You have every fact, picture, every nugget, probably ever associated with the Tigers in this.
From Cobb to Cabrera, it's all there.
Yeah.
But the interesting.
How many pages?
573.
Oh, my goodness.
And the publisher, well, I'm self-publishing, but the company said they have ideas maybe to increase it to 700. And it's like, let's double think that. 570 is enough.
That's a lot of material. Okay, let's go back. Tell us about yourself, Roger.
Well, I'm from Jerome, born and raised there, and I served 20 years in the U.S. Navy. And when I got back, it's interesting, I served in a ceasefire campaign of Desert Storm. I was 5 years in Saudi Arabia. And when I get back, I see there's a baseball statistic war. I was like, well, how great for a soldier to have a baseball statistic war. But I served off and on in the media for over 40 years, radio, television, and newspapers. And that's what led me to this project, because whenever I do a story in the Tigers, you're on a deadline to get your story published in that day's newspaper. And if I do something on the Tigers, I'm going to six or seven sources. And it's like, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a source, whether you're in the media or a fan, that you can go to.
Yeah, this is like what the Bible of.
Well, it's got a lot of information that you would want to see. Most fans, they want to read about stolen bases or home runs. That's there. But you go from what I call old school statistics to the sabermetrics of today. And so a lot of fans aren't familiar with those. But a lot of those new age statistics evaluate performance, where home runs and hits and stolen bases, those were the raw stats. And so with the sabermetrics, this will introduce them to that and kind of bring them to where the game has evolved today.
Are you a sabermetrics guy or old school or somewhere in between?
Somewhere in between. I remember a friend of mine, he said, have you been to Comerica Park? And it's like 5 years old at that time. He said, no, I'm a Tiger Stadium fan. But once you go to Comerica Park, I love it. I love the layout. And they're just two different eras. And it's the same thing with baseball. You have the raw data, and then you have the new age statistics that we're becoming more familiar with by the day. And I've come to embrace that. And there is an advantage to understanding that and using it.
Now, your book, what goes through by decade? Is that how it's put together?
Yes, it's laid out by decade. So it works out with the Tigers beginning 1901. So you just go through the 12 decades. And there's an all-decade team for each decade, the beginning each decade. And there's a player of the decade, pitcher of the decade. And you just go through there. And on each decade pages, the first five pages of a decade, it's going to have hitting leaders, maybe home runs for that decade, hits for that decade. And the last five pages of that decade, it's going to have the pitching leaders, maybe the wins or leaders in saves.
Is it all Tigers or is there some other baseball interweaved in here?
Only in the fact where I recap a game where, yeah. Where you know, DiMaggio might have had eight RBIs or Ruth hit the longest home run in history against the Tigers, only in that aspect if it comes through the Tiger information. But it's pretty much Tigers 100%.
Do you have all this in the back of your cranium?
You know, when I first printed this out in a rough format, I had to put it together so I could print out a rough copy when we went to the Philippines in 2018 to kind of review it.
How would you even do that?
I had it in seven different sections, large sections of information, and I just started piecing that together. And I just you had to. There's a term we use in the military is compartmentalize, and that's kind of what I had to do is not be overwhelmed by the information as a whole. Just take it by each section, and then when I put it together and laid out the page numbers, I had no idea it was going to be that huge. But this is my version.
Are you big into the 60s?
I am. I started following the Tigers in 1971.
Okay.
But then my first progression was the 60s. And so there's just so many stories with the 60s. It's just, it was a different era. I think that was where the Tigers really took on their identity as we know it today, people of our age. It was the 60s and that core of players, you know, Kaline, Cash, all those.
Yeah. And we were just talking about Northrup, who had the three grand slams in 1 week. That was celebrated this week. But who was your player of the decade in the 60s? It had to be Kaline, I guess.
Yeah, it was. The thing is, you mentioned Jim Northrup. You know, some of the things that I point out in the book is he had two games with eight RBIs. And, you know, today you have two or three RBIs, and that's a good day.
Sure.
But when you have eight RBIs, that's bringing your lunch pail. That's going to work that day.
That's a good couple weeks.
Yes.
Probably for most players. This book is not on the book stand yet. How is that going to come to the public?
It's being published as we speak. We're working on a front and back cover, something more completely organized than mine that I came up with as a starting point. But they say in less than 2 months it will be available, and ideally, say in 1 month. So I'll keep you posted and let everybody know via radio, newspapers, and that when it's available. It will be available, I know for sure, as an ebook. It will also be available as in a book form, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and all those places that we're used to.
Be a soft hardcover?
Soft cover.
It will be?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a big soft cover book.
It is. And I want it to be 7x9. They said, no, you need to keep this. It's 8.5x11. So it's kind of a huge book. It's, you know, I want it a little bit smaller, handier for people to carry around and use. But they have suggested that it's good like it is.
So it had to be a labor of love for you because this has got to take almost forever. And well, like you said, this is over 15 years of work, isn't it?
12 years.
Okay.
And that's on and off, and I was still working full-time then. And
right.
You know, you have things with a family that you do and things, so things come and go. But right now, this is my focus for the last 6 months is let's kill this project. Let's get it out, you know. And I was caught up into, you know, when is the release date? Is it in the off season and all that? But we're looking at 120 years of history, and so when it's done, and that's going to be very soon, and people will be enjoy the information.
Top 10 players by position. Okay, top catcher. Well, let's do a little quiz here. No?
No. The thing is, you know, people have their favorites. So all these the top 100 Tigers of all time, the top 50 starters, top 50 relievers, top 10 by position, this is all based on offensive performance. And you see the categories there at the top that we're taking into account. So some of those are new age, some of those are old school, but those are all based on performance. And the interesting thing that I found out is, you know, we hear a lot about Cobb and Kaline and Cabrera. But it's those other players like J.D. Martinez and Mickey Tettleton that these players rose to the top. And that's what you would expect is these Hall of Famers are going to be there. And they are statistically based on performance. And if you have a team where it was based on popularity, of course, you'd have Kaline and you'd have Cabrera probably. So,
let's just take the catcher because you Mickey Cochran is number one, but Mickey Tettleton is number two, which would surprise many people.
Well,
ahead of Lance Parrish and Pudge and Bill Freehand.
Well, the interesting thing is they all have their own identity and what they can bring to the table. But Mickey Tettleton, you'd think of him as a slugger, and he was. But he was adequate catcher and calling a game. And the interesting there, they're both named Mickey, and there's a little history there. Mickey Mantle was named after Mickey Cochran. You know, Mickey Tettleton, his family named Mickey Tettleton after Mickey Mantle.
Mm-hmm.
And so two of the three Mickeys are right there at the top at the catcher position.
Okay, at shortstop, you have Carlos Guillen, number one. He has the best, I guess, offensive numbers, followed by Harvey Keene, Alan Trammell third. People would, that would probably surprise people.
Yeah, anytime you have a Hall of Famer like Trammell, which he's deserving of the Hall of Fame, you would all automatically think he's going to be number one, Lou Whitaker number one at second base as well. But, you know, this is based on their performance, and Harvey Keene hit the league running. You know, rookie of the year, 200 hits, 300 average, and, you know, he started out, you know, he split probably half his time in the outfield and half time at short, but this is, like I said, it's based on those metrics there that we use to compare them. And one of the things was used was run scoring percentage. So you have the smarter base runners who, like a Mickey Stanley, he was a good base runner. You wouldn't think of him as a base stealer, and he really wasn't. He could steal one here and there on you. But base running is important, and that was one of the stats I included, is if you get on base, how many times do you score compared to the other players? I mean, there's a knack for that, whether you're Rajai Davis or Quentin Berry or, you know, you're Bill Freehand.
Yeah, somebody asked you, who's your top five in your top five Tigers? I said Willie Horton, and he's number 10 here, and just in left field. That's surprising.
Yes. Willie the Wonder, he could hit the ball, and he was an adequate fielder. He got the job done. He brought his lunch pail every day, and he was there. He was going to compete, and he's going to win games for you. But when you got almost 1,800 Tigers of all time, you know, there's just going to be a process there, and then he ranks a little bit lower than most people would expect.
And Champ Summers being the top-rated designated hitter, that's a shocker.
Yeah, when you look at, I compare Champ Summers a lot to Marcus Thames. Not full-time players in any one position. They play in the field here and there, but predominantly they were DHing. And when you get, when they played, they produced. And that's a good thing. When you look at both of their managers, coincidentally, you look at Sparky and you look at Jim Leland, they had a knack of knowing when to play those reserve players in at the right time, at the right place, and they produced when they were called upon.
Now, any Tiger fan would just go nuts over this, I'm thinking.
Well, I designed this as a fan. I'm looking at this. If I'm a fan, what do I want to see in here? And so that's why there's a lot of information you're not going to see anywhere else.
Yeah.
Information on the Tiger coaches.
And the way it's put together.
It's laid out by decade, so you can just follow through from, if you start following the Tigers in 1960, you can just follow them from then to now. And as you read through those yearly recaps each year, which recaps the team, which has three or four games each month, recaps those and the highlights for those games. Then you have the offense, then you have pitching, and then you have defense. So defense a lot of times is overlooked, but each yearly review has details on defensive leaders for the Tigers that year, as well as I went back and I added information for each year in the minor leagues. Those guys who are performing at the minor league level, you might not hear about.
Right.
And so we included that. And it's just, if you're a Tiger fan, this is something that
it's
you should have.
It's incredible. Yeah, it's a Bible for a Tiger fan. So hopefully it's out by Christmas. Right?
Oh, yeah. It's I'm looking within a month.
Okay.
So we're close, and I'll keep people posted. The listeners know that. You know, when it's available on Amazon, I will be doing a lot of local presentations to groups and organizations. And on Facebook, it's easy to find me, Roger Yoder, R-O-G-E-R, Y-O-D-E-R on Facebook. And there's where you can contact me, the listeners.
The mayor of Jerome.
Yes, that's it. Let
me pick your brain now, because we were in a debate here the other day about balls hit out of Old Tiger Stadium. And, you know, there were, I don't know, quite a few. There were a number hit to right field, but only a handful to left field. Do you have that on the tip of your tongue or no?
Harmon Killebrew was, I think, the first one who cleared left field.
Yeah. And didn't then, Frank Howard hit one?
Frank Howard, Big Daddy, Cecil.
Is that it?
That's pretty much it. There's another one here and there, but pretty much left field, I think it was 340, 325 in right field. So right field was a little closer. And of course, a lot of us still think back to Reggie Jackson in the All-Star game in 71. How far would that ball went? It had not hit a light tower.
Yeah, I was there when Mantle hit one off Foytak right between. People were looking for the ball, and it was
gone.
Flying into the lumber yard across the street.
Yes.
But there, I know Cash hit a few. And
yeah, Cash hit three, I think.
Did he? Okay.
But Storm and Norman, elite power hitter.
Yeah. Well, keep us updated on the book, Roger. It's amazing. I need two hands to pick it up. That's how much stuff there is in here. And I know you have some amazing photos, too.
Yes, there's a friend of mine suggested you need to have a lot of photos. And without adding one page to the book, just alignment, page layout, I went back and I added over 400 pages. So there's almost 600 photos in the book.
Wow.
And these are from the old Tigers, Cobb and his unknown cohorts to Ramon Santiago and Mikey Matuk.
There you go. Hey, thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Good luck and keep us updated.
We will, and it's going to be out soon.
Noted author Roger Yoder from Jerome.